Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building an old-school jungle ARP flip bassline in Ableton Live 12 using an Amen Science mindset. So the idea is simple, but powerful. Start with a tight melodic or arpeggiated idea, break it apart, resample it, and turn it into a nervous, rolling bass hook that feels like it belongs under chopped Amen energy. This is not just about making a cool synth sound. This is about building a bassline that actually talks to the drums. In old-school jungle, the bass cannot just sit there holding notes. It has to dance with the break, leave space for the snares and ghost hits, and still keep the low end stable enough to hit properly on a system. That balance is the whole game. We're aiming for a two-layer bass hook. One layer is the clean mono sub, carrying the weight and the foundation. The other is the upper ARP flip layer, which brings the movement, the bite, and the chopped up energy. The sub stays solid and boring in the best way. The upper layer gets a little unstable, a little gritty, a little chopped. That contrast is what makes the whole thing feel alive. Why this works in D&B is because the drums are already chaotic. The break is doing the human mess, the swing, the edits, the grit. So the bass can be the controlled machine part that gets fractured later. That tension between control and damage is exactly where the jungle character lives. First, load up your Amen break or a rough break edit and get a basic kick and snare pattern running. Even if it's just a simple two bar loop, that's enough to start. You want the bass to react to the drum phrasing, not exist in a vacuum. Before you touch any synth, decide what job the bass is doing. Usually there are two good choices. One is support mode, where the bass keeps the low end moving underneath the break. The other is reply mode, where the bass answers the break with short bursts after key snare hits or fills. For old school jungle, reply mode usually wins because it creates that conversational, chopped feeling. Keep your thinking in two-bar or four-bar loops so the response is easy to hear. What to listen for here is really important. If the drums already feel busy, the bass should sound like it's locking into the gaps. It should not feel like it's blanketing the whole groove. If you hear the bass fighting the break, you're probably trying to say too much too soon. Now build the source MIDI. Load up a stock synth like Analog, Wavetable, or Operator. Start simple. Don't design the final tone yet. Use a plain saw, square, or a pair of detuned oscillators if you want a classic restyle edge. Then write a very short MIDI idea. One root note, maybe a fifth or an octave, one pickup note, one repeated cell. That's enough. Keep the notes short, around 16th or 8th note lengths. You are not writing the final performance yet. You're creating raw material for the flip. If the sketch feels too melodic, simplify it. A good jungle bass idea should still feel strong if you strip it down to rhythm alone. A useful starting move is to use root plus octave if you want clear identity, root plus minor third if you want darker tension, or root plus fifth if you want that classic rave momentum. Keep it small, because the magic comes later when you chop it into a phrase. If you want, add Ableton's arpeggiator before the synth and use it as a motion engine. Set the rate to 1/16 or 1/8. Keep the gate moderate, and try up, down, or converge depending on how much tension you want. Don't let the range get silly. Keep the movement controlled. This is where the ARP flip starts. We're not treating the arpeggiator as the final answer. We're using it to generate material. Then we're going to print it and edit it like audio. That's the Amen Science approach. Machine motion first, human edit second. What makes this work so well in jungle is that the bass can sound slightly mechanical without losing its groove. The drums carry the wild energy, and the bass acts like an organized force that gets cut up into shape. That's why the style feels so alive when it's done right. Next, shape the synth so it feels like bass, not lead. Low pass the top aggressively enough that it stops reading like a bright synth line. Short attack, fairly short decay, short release. You want each note to have a clean front edge, but you don't want the tail smeared all over the next hit. A good starting zone is a cutoff somewhere that keeps the note readable but not shiny, a quick attack, a decay somewhere in the 150 to 350 millisecond range, and a release that stays tight. If the patch feels weak, don't immediately pile on distortion. First tighten the envelope and shorten the tail. That usually fixes the problem faster than adding more aggression. What to listen for is the note front. You want a clear little punch at the start of each hit. If the bass feels blurry, it won't land against the break properly. If it's too soft, the rhythm disappears. If it's too long, everything turns to mud. So keep it tight. Once the loop feels rhythmically alive, print it to audio. Freeze and flatten, or record it onto a new audio track. This is a key step because the flip really comes alive in audio. Audio lets you cut notes to weird lengths, reverse tiny fragments, move accents around the drum pocket, and create micro gaps that make the line breathe like a chopped break. If the rhythm still feels generic at this stage, stop and fix that before you throw effects at it. A weak rhythm will just become a louder weak rhythm. Don't hide the problem with processing. Name the printed clip right away so you can compare versions fast. Clean workflow matters here. Now open the Audino and start editing it into a jungle phrase. Think in terms of statement and response. One bar says the idea, the next bar answers it, the third bar repeats but shifts the ending, and the fourth bar gives you a turnaround or fill that pulls back into the loop. A really effective move is to push one or two hits slightly ahead of the grid and pull one or two slightly behind. Keep it subtle. We're talking milliseconds, not random sloppy timing. The idea is to make the bass feel like it's dancing around the snare, not sitting directly on top of it. What to listen for now is the conversation. The bass should feel like it is speaking around the snare punctuation. It shouldn't just be a loop of notes. It should have accent syllables. That's the sweet spot. When the bass starts sounding like it has speech rhythm, you're in the zone. Now split the sub from the movement. This is where the mix starts becoming real. Keep the sub layer separate and simple. Use a pure sine or a very clean oscillator, keep it mono, and let it hold the foundation. You can use a light saturator if you want a little harmonic help, but stay disciplined. For the upper movement layer, high pass it so it doesn't invade the low end. Add some grit with saturator or overdrive, maybe a little auto filter for movement, and if you want width, keep it light and only above the low end. The rule is simple. Sub stays centered and stable, upper movement can get animated, but it must not mess with club translation. If the bass feels massive in headphones, but collapses in mono, the upper layer is probably carrying too much low mid energy or stereo smear. High pass harder, clean up the low mids, and check the sub by itself. That will tell you the truth very quickly. Now, one really important point. Old school jungle bass is about controlled motion, not constant wobble. Use filter automation, small resonance hits, maybe a tiny pitch or wavitable move on one accent. But don't stack endless modulation on top of already chopped audio. The edit itself is the movement. Too much extra motion just blurs the whole line. Check the bass in context with the break and the kick and snare. Don't judge it solo for too long. Ask yourself three things. Is the sub hitting clearly underneath the kick? Is the bass leaving enough room for the snare crack and break transients? And does the groove still feel like it's moving forward when the drums get busy? If the kick and bass are fighting, shorten the low layer or remove the sub from certain offbeats. If the snare loses impact, clean a little space in the upper layer. Only do that if you really need it. Keep the important low energy centered, and don't overwiden the movement layer. Stereo excitement can look great in headphones and still fall apart on a system. At this point, stop thinking of the bass as a loop and start thinking of it as an arrangement move. A strong jungle drop rarely repeats the exact same bass phrase without changes. Maybe the first four bars are clean and readable. Then the next four bars get one extra chop, or one octave answer, or a dirtier print. That tiny evolution keeps the record feeling alive. A really good approach is to have one clean print, one slightly dirtier print, and one weird version for later destruction. That way you're not rebuilding the part from scratch every time you want to change. Jungle loves a versioning mindset. Often the second best version becomes the most useful one later in the arrangement. Here's a bonus ear training cue. If the bass line feels like it has accent syllables rather than just notes, you're on the right track. That's the kind of phrasing old school jungle wants. It should almost sound like it's talking around the kick and snare. For darker or heavier DNB, keep the ARP flip as a mask for the sub. Let the upper movement be a bit rough while the sub stays boring and stable. That contrast creates weight. If you want more menace, don't just distort the whole thing. Distort the cup at upper layer harder and keep a cleaner version underneath. That gives you attitude without destroying the pitch center. Also, use micro pauses before key snare hits. A tiny gap can make the next bass hit feel twice as heavy. Silence is part of the groove. Don't be afraid of it. Now let's bring it together. In a full drop, a strong structure could start with a clearer statement, then add more edits or an octave answer, then bring in a dirtier variation with extra chop or a filtered push, and finally end with a deliberate turnaround or small gap before the loop resets. That last gap matters more than people think. It gives the next downbeat more impact than just piling on more notes. For the second drop, keep the same root identity, but change the print. Add one new rhythmic interruption and make the turnaround harsher or lower. That gives you progression without losing recognition. A great jungle bass line evolves just enough to stay exciting, while still being instantly identifiable. So, to recap the whole move, start with your drum context, build a simple arpeggiated idea, shape it into a tight bass source, print it to audio, chop and rephrase it into a call and response phrase, then split the sub from the movement so your low end stays solid and your upper layer can dance. Keep the low end stable, let the chopped layer carry the attitude, and phrase it like a conversation with the amen break. If the result feels like a controlled mess with a clear groove, you're exactly in the right place.